Mr. Ito, you are not only one of the world's most known bloggers. Your own venture capital firm in Tokyo also co-owns one of the most used software platforms for millions of other bloggers around the world. I first took notice of you when I read one of your essays in your blog about your hopes for the modernization of Japan. And what really struck me is that our two countries seem to face some very similar challenges, whether it is our demographics and our so-called overaging populations, our difficulties in truly embracing multiculturalism, or our comparatively timid entrepreneurial cultures. What do you think our two countries could learn from their similarities?
You know, I only know some of the stereotypes of both of our countries, and the stereotypes are often similar. You know, the trains run on time, people are very focused on punctuality and quality and hard work. Countries where large corporations dominate and actually reap most of the returns without taking that much risk, what happens is it doesn't provide that much return for the people who do take risks. And I think what you end up with a skewed market, which then drives people away from starting new companies and being innovative as an individual. The biggest difference probably between Germany and Japan is that Japan is an island and Germany is, you may feel somewhat closed, but at least you're connected to the countries around you. I know Germany made a very strong effort to reconcile with all of its issues after the World War II. And also, a lot of the war was actually on German territory. And one conductor friend of mine gave me an example that when the Germans were trying to make peace and befriend the neighbors again, that they would go to Poland and they would play Polish music. Whereas the Japanese, first of all, they don't have neighbors. The war didn't, other than the bombings, didn't come to Japan. Hostile foreign soldiers didn't fight in Japan. And they didn't really reconcile very well. And in fact, when the Japanese orchestra went to Korea, they played Japanese music. The Japanese have never been very good at sort of dealing with and apologizing for World War II. The German people were involved in the apology. I think that part of it had to do with the fact that even though there were a lot of issues, Hitler and the whole process was within some kind of a democratic process, although it was usurped and so on. I think that in Japan, the same period of history, the military was a bureaucracy. They assassinated the prime minister and basically took over the government. And I think that most Japanese believe that World War II was run by rogue bureaucrats who were not democratically elected, and that when they were ousted, they were happy, and it wasn't their fault. So I think that it's the difference between people feeling responsible for politicians they voted for and the Japanese who felt they were victims of a rogue bureaucracy. So that's also a problem for Japan, because that's not what the rest of the world thinks when they think about the Japanese in World War II. And one of the reasons why it's difficult for a lot of Japanese to apologize is they feel they were the victims.
What is your dream? Not your plan or your blueprint for Japan that you wrote so famously, but what is your dream for the future of Japan?
My dream for the future of Japan is that I believe that there are certain components of Japanese culture that are strong, that have been lost or are diminishing. So if you go back to the history of Japan, Japanese were intellectual and aggressive, and they had a very vibrant intellectual culture, risk-taking. If you go back, there's arts and sharing. There's some really wonderful things in Japanese history. But modern history and modern culture in Japan has dampened many of the great things about Japan. And I think that the Japanese also are focused very much on the territory of Japan as being the identity of Japan. So our currency is pretty much locked inside of our borders. Now, I believe that if Japan can open its borders to immigration, and Japan can understand that the cultural identity of Japan can survive physical interaction and integration with the rest of the world, and that Japan should think of itself as a distributed culture rather than territorial, I think that it might be able to get over this problem. if you look at the popularity of certain types of Japanese culture in foreign countries, the Japanese should be comfortable in opening up. And I think that that's going to be the biggest hurdle. But the Japanese economy and the Japanese territorial closeness, I don't think will survive. One way or another, something will happen in my lifetime. But I do believe that after we get over this crisis that the Japanese have right now, the Japanese culture will be more integrated into the world and will be something that everyone can enjoy. My dream really is that somehow Japanese culture survives.
Coming back to Germany, Mr. Ito, may we ask, what is your most idealistic, most optimistic dream for Germany's future? And what dream could Germany offer to the world?
When I think of Germany, I think of Germany as the kind of most balanced, organized, and central segment of Europe. Now, this may be a misconception, but from the outside, that's how it appears. I believe that Japan is going through this crisis of just being closed. I think that the United States is going through this crisis of not understanding how to be a superpower and not understanding multilateralism. I think that the future of the world is really going to be about how do you balance multilateralism, how do you understand other cultures, and how does Europe manage to bring itself into this a properly functioning EU democracy, and how do you keep the economy and everything working and running on time. And my sense is that Germany is the best suited country to try to organize Europe. I think every country has a number of assets and a number of strengths. And again, this may sound superficial and stereotypical, but I think that the Germans have a track record of proving that they can build and maintain large organizations and structure. I think that one of the difficulties is the ethic of suffering, or I don't know what the right word is, but it's this kind of still carrying a very strong burden and not really coming out strong on the innovation and creativity side. And I think that that is something that maybe you can import some of that risk-taking entrepreneurism from some of the other countries. But I think that that Germany is being the hub of a more united Europe is really what I think that the position is. And frankly, that would have been if Japan had done the right thing after World War II and had been more diplomatically savvy, they could have been something like that for Asia. But I think at this point it's almost impossible. Whereas with Germany, I think that since you have such a good relationship with the rest of the European countries, that you can quickly become the leader. I think that once that happens, then the cross-pollinization from the different cultures will help wake up and invigorate Germany. That's what I think.
You are going back and forth between Tokyo and Silicon Valley, if I'm not mistaken. What would make you want to live in Germany?
Yeah, I travel a lot in Europe as well. Each country has something that's really unique and interesting, especially coming from Japan. I'm always concerned that, you know, the logistics or the things are broken, the things don't work on time, or they're not organized, which is okay sometimes because a lot of creative endeavors require some chaos. But I would like, I'd like my home base to be organized. And it's a very comfortable feeling to know that everything runs on time. But it's interesting also then to get the inspiration from the other countries. If Germany were able to maintain its ability to keep things in order, but were also able to import restaurants from France and museums from Italy and really be able to become, maybe the right way to say it is a platform. I think, you know, Japan and Germany both have very good ability to create and manage infrastructure, but we're often unable to populate that infrastructure with some of the creativity that other countries have. And I think that, you know, one of the things, again, now I'll use an internet metaphor. One of the great things about the internet is that everything is divided into layers and so on. And I think that layer-to-layer interoperability, since I've lived with that on the internet, I kind of wish that that could happen in terms of places to live. I would love if Germany was opening the doors for immigration and really embracing some of the core values of the EU, which is really for people to move across the countries. And I think that Germany could be kind of home base. And if that were the case, I would feel comfortable building one of my home bases in Germany as well, I think.
Now, you're also a businessman, so you as a successful venture capitalist, what do you think Germany should do to foster a more innovative and more entrepreneurial climate?
Well, I think it's very similar to Japan, and it's a difficult one, which is that I think that Germany has a lot of big companies that have a lot of power, and it creates a somewhat of a risk-averse generation. There's still some kind of guilt about having too much fun or about enjoying things too much. If you're trying to build a car, you have to be quite serious because it is a very serious business. But I think when you're trying to come up with new content and new venture businesses for the internet, you do need to kind of have an open spirit.
Since you just mentioned the internet, let us briefly talk about the open source software movement. Different countries have taken very different positions in how they support or don't support this worldwide movement for more collaboration on the internet and less restrictive copyrights and patents. As you know, when Germany's parliament decided to install the open-source Linux operating system on its servers, it sent a shockwave through the global software industry. So how could the spirit of this global open-source movement also be part of a new German dream?
I think that if you look at most of the really interesting applications on the internet, from the open source perspective, Europe has many of the greatest examples. And I think that the internet is reaching, at least from a technical perspective, the level of something close to a public utility. Some people call me socialist for saying this, but many components of the internet don't require that much more innovation, and it just requires stability. And the innovation has moved up to other layers. I think that a lot of the problems that we're facing right now are outdated business models inside of large monopolies trying to retain some value. And these monopolies are very large, so you never know how long it's going to take for them to go away. But eventually they will go away. I've found that Japan and Europe tend to mimic the U.S. in extending copyright and trying to do business model patents and so on. And you know what it really shows is the weakness of both of our democracies. I think that the software patent issue in Europe is really disgusting. I thought that the European democracy was a little stronger than that. And again, I think that you have to identify the enemy. The enemy are these large multinational corporate monopolies that try to influence and capture your democracy and change the laws in their favor. And I think that right today we're fighting software patents, but this is more fundamental. I think it's the fundamental fight between secrecy and aggregated power versus democracy and the people. And I think also that this European democracy that you're creating and trying to give voice to the people and be multilateral and so on, I believe that the open internet, open source, and true open society are all very parallel. And I think that the current U.S. democracy, so-called democracy, is very similar to the monopolies in its corporate environment and the closed nature of networks and proprietary software. And so I think that what you really need to do is elevate the discussion of open source, open society, open democracy, open internet to the same one, which is that everyone should have the ability to participate, everyone should have open borders, everyone should have the right to innovate without licenses, and everything should interoperate with each other. Just one step to say, well, the internet is the cornerstone of an open society and an open democracy in the 21st century, and you can't have the internet without open source. Open source is the next part of that. The internet brings real freedom to participate, to innovate, to add value, to interconnect. And those are the values that I think Europe should be focused on. And really, Germany is the country that has the technical skill, the market size, the influence to coordinate this effort. And if Germany doesn't get behind it, I don't see anyone else who can be the conductor of this massive effort.
Mr. Ito, thank you very much for dreaming with us.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.